Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's One Last Thing with co-host Sean Asher. Sean, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. It's bye week. Hopefully the Ravens can't hurt us. Hopefully everyone comes back healthier, and that'll be a good thing for us.
We're recording this on Friday. Had some good news with the Steelers losing to the Bengals and Joe Flacco, kind of a little bit of an entertainment for us on Thursday night, a little bit of good news in a desert of bad news that we have so far been through this season. We're going to talk about changes that we'd like to see after the bye. This is not a complete list of changes that you could come up with for the Baltimore Ravens. There's a lot of people suggesting some crazy stuff. One thing we don't have on this list are big trade acquisitions. So most of these are schematic changes that we're talking about the Ravens making that might help them improve offensively or defensively in somewhere. Is that correct, Sean?
Yeah, I think we'd have to see something. I guess the trade deadline is still 3 weeks away.
It's the Tuesday after the Miami game, so it's the 4th.
Yeah, so we still got some time before we probably even want to make a trade, right? I think the Ravens would have to really turn things around and turn things around in a big way before the trade deadline, before the Ravens even really considered even moving on from a 5th-round pick, to be honest with you.
Right. I'm in a position right now where if the Ravens lose either of these next two games, I want them to aggressively embrace selling. We just had a pod on that, by the way. It should be out perhaps before One Last Thing. It might be out after, but keep a lookout for it. It's on Trade Candidates is the name of the pod. And take a look for that. That's with Matt Ruff, and he had some great thoughts in terms of players. And shockingly little total trade value is available for the Ravens in terms of all the real tradable assets they have. So that's part of the unfortunate position they find themselves in.
Yeah. And the other thing, neither of us have firing head coach on our list. I know everybody wants that. I know that's such a popular thing, but it just doesn't benefit us to do that at any point in time in the middle of the season. There's no divisible benefit. The head coaches that are looking that would replace Harbaugh if we did that are not going to be more appealed to the Ravens because we did it mid-season. You know, it's not a good look. Nobody really wants that. It's really not going to save anything. It's not going to do us any good to do that.
Yeah, you need to have an interim head coach. It'd have to be somebody who's on the roster currently. You're almost making that guy, giving that guy an expectation of a promotion that you might have to yank out from under his feet. So if you wanted to promote Todd Monken, then, you know, Monken could get very upset if the Ravens then go outside the organization at the end of the year. So you really don't want, I don't think the Ravens want that. I think that they'll, based on what I know about how Steve Bisciotti has hired people in the past, including Harbaugh himself after the Billick firing, I think it's likely to happen at the end of the year. And I don't even think there's 100% chance that he'll be gone in 2026. I think it's more in the 50-50 range right now. And I don't know whether it's 40-60 or 35-65 or whatever it might be that he stays or goes. And I wouldn't try and handicap it either way. But I don't think it's 100% that he's gone in 26.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Based off his last press conference and the relationships they have and just the way this organization operates, like, honestly, I think you'd be looking at another year of really high expectations and a great roster, and we're all scratching our heads of why. And maybe after 2 years, then maybe in my book. Mm-hmm. Whether I agree with it or not is a whole different story, but I just don't see the Ravens doing that.
Yep, I'm with you on that. So let's talk about changes we'd like to see that are largely schematic for the Ravens this year. I'm going to start, and one of the things I've been harping on, and I think is one of the failures, is using Keaton Mitchell specifically as a misdirection weapon. But they have other misdirection weapons that they could also use in this way. I want to see more snaps from Mitchell. I want to possibly see more snaps from LaJonte Wester. Now, he's active every week. Mitchell is not necessarily active every week, but Wester is a guy who could take some jet motion, whether it's a jet toss or a jet handoff, and make a play. I don't like it being Zay Flowers because I think it actually hurts you in terms of how you stretch the opposing defense. Monken made a big deal when he came to Baltimore initially about an offense is balanced if you're forcing the defense to defend as much area as possible. Every blade of grass. He might have used different terminology, but that's what he meant. Flowers, I want to see you run more on deep routes, deep crosses, but also if you're gonna get some of the comeback value and the crossing value in particular from Flowers, where he's been absolutely deadly, he's got to run some sevens, eights, and nines. Just the inverse of the problem with Tez Walker, who doesn't run enough comeback routes to support his seven, eight, nine deep threatiness. So that's something where I'd really like to see a change there. I think when we see Jackson return, that'll be the biggest single addition to misdirection. So, they'll with Rush, you basically have your play. You line it up and you're about to run it, and the defense can make a pretty good guess about who's getting the football when Derrick Henry is in the backfield. And there's the only way you have to misdirect your opponents is to really send in different numbers of tight ends and show them a slightly different look, and then have two plays called and be able to check into a pass at the line of scrimmage. And Rush can do all that. He just isn't particularly good at throwing the football. And that's something that has held it back. So misdirection weapons with Lamar basically gives him a three-pronged fork that the defense is looking down every play, which is really what I want the Ravens offense to get back to.
Yeah, absolutely. And as soon as you start swapping out players that are doing different things, coaches have more to game plan for. And then all of a sudden you're not singularly game planning to stop Derrick Henry. And that's a big deal. It's a really big deal for the Ravens if you can have coaches game planning for more than just stopping Derrick Henry. So to piggyback off that, I've got a similar point for my first one, a little bit different in terms of I want DeAndre Hopkins on the field more. When I look at snaps, DeAndre Hopkins is getting 28.5% of the snaps. Zay Flowers is getting 86.7, and Bateman's getting 67.6. When you look at yards per catch, yards per target, average depth of catch, DeAndre Hopkins is having a monstrous season right now. And it's because of the offense that we have and the players around him. Like, you can't double DeAndre Hopkins every play. And like, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins isn't what he was. He's past his prime. But every catch we've seen this guy make, it's like he's still got that talent where he can beat a one-on-one player. And we need that on the field more often. Go ahead.
I'm with you on that in terms of the yards per target, but the point you made is very important, is that other teams have made the decision to single cover him on man. In fact, if they're playing any kind of post situation, a lot of throws to Hopkins have been on the outside where the single high safety cannot impact the play. So that player has to be used to defend other types of routes. And Hopkins has proved very adept at going and finding the football and that readjusting the football much better than his opponent has in the one-on-one. I think that's where a lot of the value is. They need to keep him outside the numbers. I don't think he'll have the same value crossing the field that he does on the outside.
Yeah, I agree. And I found an interesting website. I'll put it on X later if I can verify that the information is good and it's credible. But it essentially was breaking down offensive efficiencies per play. And our 3-by-1 efficiency is like 7th right now. And, I get that we're trying to run the ball, and we want to run the ball, and that's what Baltimore does. And we have Derrick Henry, like all the signs point to run the ball. But even if you want to run the ball and you don't want to put 3 wide receivers on the field at the same time as often as the average, whatever, I get it. I don't understand why Zay Flowers can't have 3 less reps a game. I don't understand why Bateman can't have 5 less reps a game to get those reps to DeAndre Hopkins. You know, one of them's 1, one of them's 2. Make the third guy essentially 2B instead of number 3, in my opinion.
All right. I do want to see more from Bateman, but that'll get into one of my other points. Maybe I'll jump to that one right now, which is more on schedule throws. I think the Ravens have been missing this pretty much the entire season. This offensive line does not support as well the roaming the pocket nature that the Ravens have used in the past to really unlock a lot of value from Lamar Jackson. There has to be more I'm not saying take out all the extended, but there has to be more in terms of on schedule throws. That really is an increased role for Bateman that I'm talking about. It could also be an increased role for Hopkins. But Bateman is the guy who you can get the ball quickly because he hits the top of the stem and makes the cornerback make the wrong move. He's the best at doing that. Flowers is good at just losing the guy at the top of the stem because he's too quick and too small that he can put his foot in the ground and change directions. But Bateman really has a lot of wiggle. And I think getting the ball to him more quickly would be something that the Ravens offense really ought to try and do. It's really necessary with the current weaknesses on the offensive line at left tackle and center in particular. Those positions have not played well. They've gotten relatively better pass blocking from Voorhees recently and from Fa'alele for the season as pass blockers. But there's too much pressure right now, and they need to find a way to address that. I think on-schedule throws are really the way to do it. Mark Andrews, by the way, play action would be another way if they want to try more under-center throws to get those on-schedule throws made.
Yeah, and it's Lamar is Lamar, two-time MVP. Could have been third, whatever, get it. But it's not right to ask him to play hero ball all the time. Like, this is the NFL. We've got other players getting paid. We're relying on other players. I get the offensive line is not doing its part right now, but like, help the guy out. And you're, to your point, these unscheduled throws where you're seven-step drop, five-step drop, go, two reads, you know, let's start incorporating more of that to be able to force a rhythm into this offense.
Yeah.
So to follow up with your point of the offensive line and more unscheduled throws, one of my points is offensive line rotations. I'll quickly go through your breakdown of the last three games for each of these guys. Noteboom, FFB, Stanley F, not active, not enough snaps. Voorhees, BDB, Linderbaum, F, D plus C, Fa'alele, FCC, Rosengarten, DBA. Of all those guys, we've got two next year, in my opinion, that the Ravens should be counting on to be part of their plan. Offensive tackle. The three interior spots, for reasons you have discussed on this podcast numerous of times, between Fa'alele and Linderbaum, they may not be here for various reasons. And then Voorhees, I don't know that he's shown enough consistently enough to be supplanted as the left guard of the future next year. I don't know that.
Supplanted means to be removed. You're saying he may be removed. Yeah.
Yeah. He should be. The opportunity for him to be supplanted should be there, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying then. I think Voorhees has been recently earning himself some additional leash with his play. So I'd probably go in the opposite direction. Given three of the last four games now, he's been a B after starting the season very poorly. I think he's got some additional leash to work with right now. In terms of Fa'alele, he's a rental anyway. He's only here till the end of the year. Then he's a free agent. The Ravens don't appear to be re-signing him. Ben Cleveland, you know, they've got Rosengarten, I think, is a clear starter next year, has to be. In terms of what happens at left tackle, I don't even know. I mean, Ronnie Stanley right now, I don't know where they are in terms of his career track.
Yeah. And I get to my point on all of that, even if the Ravens are potentially, if they can get a wild card spot, or they still can win the division, either way, or the season's lost. Either way, I do not want to enter 2026 not knowing whether we're counting on these young guys to development. So my point for number two should be, I want to see some rotation at the offensive line. And I don't, I'm not sitting here cherry picking saying Emory Jones needs to be taking snaps over Noteboom. I'm not pointing and saying Rosengarten needs. Younger guys need to get in, and they need to get snaps so that we can say what we have going into 2026.
Okay, completely with you, by the way, on this. Who are the players specifically that every day companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data? Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything. Data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove. You want to see get some snaps in 25 to see what we have for 26.
Bullock, I want to see it, even if it's bad, I want to see it, because I want to know, are we looking at a day two draft pick, or are we looking at a day one draft pick, or can this wait till day three to have our fifth offensive lineman? Can he be a backup? Can he potentially start in 2 years? So Bullock, Emory Jones, and honestly, man, depending on how these next three or four games go, put Vincent in.
Yeah.
If we're down and our opportunity is wild card at best, put Vincent in. Let Ronnie sit. Nope, Boom's a rental anyway. Put Vincent in. Let him get some reps. Let him learn. Why not?
Yeah. Those are the three guys for sure that I would look at. And I think it's a shame the Ravens don't have a fourth guy on the roster now in Dellinger that they could be making these sorts of decisions about right now, but they don't. In a sense that the remaining trial by Voorhees is very important in terms of a crossroads for his career. But he has earned some leash, and he's probably earned the right to fail in 2026 as of now, or he's working well towards the right to fail in 2026 right now. I think the center situation is a much more difficult one, because I don't think they're going to sit Linderbaum at any point during the year. Linderbaum might get hurt, but I don't think they're going to sit him at any point. They might trade him. That's possible. And I think the value in seeing what Bullock can do will be at center. It'll be figuring out, can he replace Linderbaum next year, who will be maybe too expensive for the team to consider signing. So if Bullock gets reps at guard, okay, that's good. I don't know if it really tells the story of how good he could be at center, which is what I really want to know. He's got plenty of live fire in the preseason, but I want to see more during the regular season.
I agree. And we talked about this in the Emory Jones episode. If this season is headed in the worst case scenario, I don't care if Linderbaum's 80% and can get us better protection because he's 80%. If he's 80%, put him down. If we're not going to work, if it's not going to be for a playoff game, if we're not playing for our lives here and we're not going to make it into the dance anyway, sit him. Sit him at 80% and let's put somebody else in and see what happens. And I don't want to get Lamar hurt. Don't get Lamar hurt. Bench him too. You know, like, let's protect our assets and put in. And I know you don't want to say, I don't want to see it either, man. You know, I think about the mustard pants game and what was that quarterback that we got? Jimmy Clausen, is that who it was?
Yeah.
I think about that. Dude, I was in Kenya watching that game. It was brutal. It was like 4 a.m. in Kenya trying to watch that. It was brutal. But I'm in favor of seeing that, because at least I have something to look forward to in 2026, as opposed to, oh man, what are we going to do at center? Because we didn't plan anything.
Yeah. It's interesting thing. You notice that with five of our six potential changes are on the offensive side of the ball. And I think part of this, I just want to have an aside here, is that they've really made some very significant changes over the last couple of weeks with Orr. The first is to go very heavy on the interior defensive line, because they do not have other options. And having two nose tackles playing at 1 and 3 is actually pretty nice in terms of run defense. The second one has been moving Hamilton back after the acquisition of Gilman to slot corner, which was one of the biggest things we wanted to see. And number three has been having Wiggins travel with opposing number one receivers, which puts a lot of pressure on him, but it's the appropriate kind of flexing of assets. And it gives the Ravens a chance on each side of the football, with Hamilton on the strong side of the field and Wiggins covering the X, to take care of business on both sides. So I really like those changes. I want to see them play out, and I don't have a bunch more changes that I can present for the defense. The defense has a certain set of players. I'm not really that concerned about inside linebacker. Where's a position where you might want to see Jay Higgins or do something like that? It doesn't make the top six here for me. So I'll go into my third, which is to reassimilate to the point of attack run game being part of what the Ravens can do. This is all based on Patrick Ricard, basically. He's the asset that they've been missing so far this season that can make them play good point of attack football. Point of attack football means the other team knows you're probably going to run. You run it anyway, and you make an effective block at that point of attack to neutralize the advantage in numbers they might always otherwise have and get Henry into level two for first contact where he can be very devastating. So those opportunities for Henry, they need to improve. I think Ricard naturally coming back to the lineup will provide additional pass blocking help. And they really need to see if Ricard is the same player that he has been. This might be after 2025 might be the time to move on from Ricard. It's not even impossible that it's during 2025 is the time they have to move on from Ricard. Lucas Scott is sitting there and he won't forever on the Ravens practice squad as a potential replacement. For whatever reason, they haven't decided he's the right guy, but the ZMP is instead. That roster spot is probably going to be through a more complex shuffle. ZMP is probably headed back to a release and a potential reacquisition onto the practice squad when Ricard is activated, because they'll need another spot elsewhere. But Ricard's already on 53. He doesn't have to be activated, but ZMP can go down and they can add a different player. So that may be a replacement for Tavius Robinson, say, like Malik Ham might be the guy who gets that. But anyway, they need to find out who Ricard is for 2026, not just 2025.
I absolutely agree. And it's funny because I've heard chatter about, like, why are we talking about Ricard? Why, like, you know, it shouldn't be – our run game should not be solely based on – you have to realize, man, there's, like, what, five teams left in the NFL that have a fullback? Patrick Ricard is 1A, 1B, depending on what you look at. So of all the players that play fullback in the world and this very niche position and their impact in the game, Patrick Ricard or Kyle Juszczyk, do you want a pass-catching one or do you want one that's really going to bully a defensive lineman or a linebacker? So it's really 1A, 1B. And he really is that impactful. There was a clip the other day of the goal line carry. Can't remember who had posted it, but you could clearly see our fullback just completely miss the block. And like, then Henry has nowhere to go. And of course, what do you expect Derrick Henry? I mean, he's Derrick Henry. I get it. But like, the other guys get paid too. So I agree with your point. We really need Patrick Card back and we need to be able to follow him down the line. So for my last point, I really had defense focus, and it's solely just stop the run, to be honest with you. Currently, we are 27th in rush yards allowed, 29th in rushing touchdowns allowed, 28th in rushing yards total. We are bottom four of these three easy-to-read rushing metrics. The one thing that does give me some hope is we are 21st in yards per attempt. So of all the teams that are getting it shoved down their throat, we're in the better part of the bottom third, if that makes sense. We're in
the top of the bottom third.
Yeah, we're in the top of the bottom third. Okay, yep. If we can switch that metric, if we can just get a little bit better in that one metric, then all of a sudden we're looking at, you know, 6-7 less rushing attempts per game. You know, part of that would be end of game where teams are trying to close out wins against us, right? And God, that would really be great if we could stop the run, especially in those times, you know? And all that to say, if we can stop the run more effectively, we can solve a lot more problems. How do we do that? We've already talked about Hamilton in the box. Weird how tale of two seasons, Hamilton has got to change positions to save the Ravens defense, but like, that's cool. That's what we're paying them to do, right? So that's pretty cool. You know, what else can kind of help that? Roquan back should help. You know, you pointed to it earlier as well. Bigger, more bodies on the defensive line. I know you've harped about this 100 times. I'm on the same boat. We should never just have four defensive line active. It's very frustrating. Only have four. And then someone gets hurt. And then you're counting on too much weight to carry too many snaps. It's just not a great recipe. So yeah, that's what I've got.
So a couple things about that. First of all, I like that you got to the actionable items there, because it's not just enough to say, well, they've got to start stopping the run. I mean, yeah, how are they going to stop the run is the real question. What are they going to change schematically to get there? I think the big change by Orr to get two big bodies in the middle certainly will help in run defense, and it certainly will hurt in terms of the pass rush. Mm-hmm. And they might be in need of yet another change. So Roquan being back, yeah, that'll help. And Hamilton playing in the slot, that certainly should help against the run. But here's the big one. Tavius Robinson is hurt, and he's their big first down edge setting outside linebacker. He's going to miss time. I don't know how much, but it sounds like 6 to 8 weeks, an amount similar to what Lakely missed. And if that happens, they need another outside linebacker, which means they're either going to have to go to the open market and find a guy. They're going to have to bring somebody up from the practice squad, who could be Malik Cam, would be the guy who I think is most likely to get it. Kymen Rucker is more of a pass rushing specialist than Ham. So I think Ham would be the guy they'd use. The other possibility is Brent Urban changes positions. And it's weird that Brent Urban is a guy that has a sort of versatility the Ravens need to come in and save their defense the way that Josh Bynes did on multiple occasions in the past. But if they turn Brent Urban into an outside linebacker, he wouldn't have coverage responsibilities like your normal Sam linebacker, but he would have edge setting responsibilities that'd be very important to this team. And I think the Ravens may be, you know, basically just that far. My fingers are really close together here, if you couldn't tell, from making that kind of a change.
Yeah. And I think, when we talk about Malik Ham, we're recording on Friday. I don't know when this will go out, but I imagine the fact that they haven't signed anybody yet probably means they are looking at Malik Ham, because it's late in the week and they knew Monday that Robinson was hurt. So the fact that we're 5 days later and they haven't already signed a street free agent makes me think that they are looking internal. Love the idea of Brett Urban doing it. That'd be pretty dope. Also, I mean, that probably extends his career by another year or two. If he can play outside linebacker on emergency basis and can set the edge for half a season, he's probably the 53rd guy on the roster again next year.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's an interesting possibility. He's played uncovered end before, so that what that means is basically they played with only one outside linebacker on the field on one side. And this is when they've been extremely shorthanded at the beginning of, I think, both 23 and 24. But they played one outside linebacker, and Urban has been the effectively like a seven tech on the other side, or potentially a five on the naked side. He had edge setting responsibilities at that time. Moving him to the far outside means you might get outflanked, you might get outrun to the edge. So he's got a very difficult assignment as an edge setter under that against, you know, speedy running backs or jet motion or things like that. But Urban is one of the best space players they have. And he's, I think he could help make the inside linebackers' jobs a lot easier if he's playing on that edge.
Yeah. What a wild pull.
A real,
not on my bingo weird career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, always great talking football with you. One last thing, has been a lot of fun to do on a split basis this year. So next week, we'll have Brad McGowan back to take a different topic, but really appreciate you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm on X at @bmore_sky_high. You'll find me on X.
All right. As always, thanks for listening, folks. Really love the loyalty of our listeners, and that we don't have to take you for granted when we talk about things in football. We can talk with some of the specific terminology we use on this show. And, you know, as much as I was kind of initially taken aback by some of the bingo card stuff on draft night, the fact that, you know, like what I'm saying when I'm talking about specific things, I take as a big positive. And I appreciate you guys a lot. If you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And otherwise, the best is that word of mouth. Tell one new person about this podcast. While I understand how algorithms work, I think that having the secondary reinforcement from your belief or your valuing this podcast is really valuable to us. For Sean Asher, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on One Last Thing.